resolution of all these things is to continue to work for a more open trading system. I am strongly committed to a successful completion of the Uruguay round this year, and to taking other measures which will open markets all around the world and reduce trade barriers. And I'm going to do everything I can to be instrumental in that regard. In order to get there, every nation has to have some mechanism to protect itself if there is uneven treatment. And we'll always have factual arguments about what is even and uneven, but I think the key is, are we moving toward a more open trading system or not? Yes. Go ahead, sir.
How can we stop wars as long as the United States permits the sale of arms around the world by CIA agents and by bringing self-conviction arms around the world to aid their economy? How can we get wars to stop under those conditions?
Well, I think that I think both of us should answer that question. The President Mitterrand will be the company misery loves on that question. I believe the United States has an obligation to try to stop the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction and to slow the proliferations of weapons generally throughout the world. It is not a simple or an easy thing to do. And our ability to do it is limited by the sovereignty of other nations and by the policies they pursue. But I can assure you, just since I have been in office, and on more than one occasion, I have done what I could within the means available to me to try to limit proliferation, and I will continue to do that. One of the reasons, since you brought up Russia, let me say again, one of the reasons I think it is so important for us to try to move aggressively to give the Russians the means to restore some economic growth and opportunity and preserve political liberty is that as other options close to them, they will be more and more and more forced to look upon their capacity to sell arms as the only way they can earn foreign currency, the only way they can keep the economy going, the only way they can keep a lot of their factories open. So I think the case you have made in the question is a powerful argument for the policies we are attempting to undertake with Russia. Mr. President.
Qui concerne les politiques que nous essayons de mener avec la Russie. Monsieur le Président.
Well, I might simply recall to the lady who spoke that it was in Paris at the end of an international conference where there was the largest ever number of participants. It was in Paris then that there was the signature of the Convention on the Prohibition of Chemical and Biological Weapons. Furthermore,
la France a toujours approuvé
France has always approved
les différents plans de réduction des
various plans for limiting nuclear weaponry signed between the United States of America and the Soviet Union in the past.
La Russie, plus récemment.
And more recently with Russia.
Que la France a pris l'initiative
and France took the initiative
d'interrompre les expériences
of stopping
essais nucléaires.
Nuclear testing.
Pour laisser le temps précisément à chacun d'examiner la possibilité d'en finir
Reconsider the possibility of bringing them to a definitive end
dans ce domaine.
With the end of overarmaments in this area.
Donc, là un terrain tout à fait favorable.
So I think that there is a very favorable ground here.
La réduction des armements.
The reduction of armaments, though, can only be conceived.
Et la cessation des ventes.
With
que
the
si
ending of sales of arguments, this can only be conceived in the framework of an international negotiation. No country otherwise could afford to place itself in a situation of danger.
Si les autres pays ne font pas le même
if the other countries don't do likewise and make the same effort. But we're certainly prepared to move ahead in this direction.
Monsieur le Président, vous avez pu entendre le président Clinton et son administration au cours des derniers mois interpeller l'Europe sur la sidérurgie, sur l'agriculture, sur les avions commerciaux. Alors, je sais que vous avez réservé cette partie de la discussion pour le déjeuner, mais quel est votre point de vue?
What is your viewpoint?
Nous avons
Present.
Décidé
well, we decided
d'en parler tout à l'heure.
To talk about this a little later on.
C'est un peu difficile.
So it's difficult for me to
accélérer le mouvement, moi tout
accelerate
seul.
Things all alone, just of my own accord.
President Clinton
probably knows as much as you do
about
my frame of mind and the frame of mind of France, in this respect, which could be summed up in a word.
International
negotiation.
GATT
is a trade negotiation.
Pour en finir avec les protectionnismes.
So as to eliminate protectionism, precisely.
C'est une négociation globale.
And it's an overall, comprehensive negotiation, global negotiation.
Tous les secteurs, mais
which doesn't touch all sectors, but many, many sectors.
Et donc pas seulement
and therefore not only farming and agriculture.
Si l'on envisage if cette discussion
one, therefore,
seul angle,
looks at the discussion solely from the point of view of agriculture, then it can't work.
Si on envisage
if, however, it is looked at
in
the form of a balanced negotiation
dans les différents secteurs
covering the various sectors that are involved, industries, services,
aucune raison
property, and so on, then there's no reason not to be able to succeed.
Et dans ce cas-là, la France
and in that respect, what France wants is that there should be a success of this, because I share the view expressed by President Clinton a moment ago,
mieux,
which is that it is
aboutira,
well, better we will be able to succeed in this respect,
then
the sooner will we get out of the present recession, the present crisis, the present problems. But at the same time, we mustn't isolate and separate off subjects and just to deal with them piecemeal. No, we mustn't do that, which is what happens only too often nowadays.
Yes, Mr. President, another domestic question. Several questions have been raised by your agreement to cut spending further here. First among them is why you've agreed to general budget cuts without specifics when you have for so long been demanding specifics of others who wanted to cut the budget further. Also, Senator Sasser said outside that while you have not agreed to necessarily $90 billion in further cuts, that is about as far, he suggested, that you feel they could go without harming the economy. Is that the case, that $90 billion is it and no more suggestions need be made?
Well, there are two different questions there. First of all, in this budget resolution, there is an attempt to deal by both the Senate and the House budget committees, an honest attempt to deal with the so-called re-estimates of the Congressional Budget Office, that is to get even more deficit reduction. And I believe it will produce far more than we even estimate. They have to decide to get the budget resolution passed by category. But I assure you that we will be very specific before the process is over. It is true that I think that we have cut the deficit in a four-year period about as much as we should with these new numbers. But that doesn't mean we don't need more specifics, because we have to define how we're going to cut. And since I also strongly believe we have to increase our investment in education and training and in new technologies and in the things which will make our economy grow, it means we need all the all the suggestions we can get about other places we can cut the budget, and we will need to do that until the budget is finally passed. So I strongly support that. The Vice President, as you know, is heading the performance review audit of the entire federal government, and the more specific suggestions we can come up with that everyone agrees with, the fewer controversial and potentially damaging cuts we'll have. And let me just make the economic argument. Our deficit reduction package, and the senator after senator said today, you know, that this is the most credible budget I've seen in 15 or 17 or however many years. It is producing the desired results: low interest rates, stock market back up and doing well. We have to deal with that against the backdrop of a Europe that's had slow growth, Japan with some serious economic policies and no political problems and no political consensus about what to do about it in Japan. So we want to do what our European and Japanese friends have been telling us for years we should do: get our deficit under control. But we want to do it at a moderate pace so that we don't throw the United States back into recession and further complicate the economic problems of Europe, which will be helped by a growing American economy. So I think we've struck the right balance. That was the point I was making to them.
Yes? President Clinton, concerning the Middle East, you said that your country intends to play the role of a full partner in the peace process. How do you intend to translate this, and what would you tell Israeli Prime Minister Rabin when you receive him next week, so that you resume the talk, especially concerning the Palestinian deportees?
Well, I think that what we mean by full partnership was evidenced by the fact that the Secretary of State's first trip abroad was to the Middle East, and that he made aggressive efforts there to try to get the talks back on track and to involve as many parties as possible. In terms of what I will tell Prime Minister Rabin when he comes back, I won't say anything I haven't said in public about the deportee issue or anything else. We are working together. I feel comfortable and confident that he very much wants the peace process back on track, and I will support that.
What specific provisions do you want in the agreement on civil aircraft? And are you prepared to abrogate last year's agreement?
No, absolutely not. I think, to some extent, my remarks in that regard have been misunderstood, and they may be my fault. I support last year's agreement. The point I was trying to make is this. The United States had a big lead in civilian aircraft. Arguably, it was contributed to by the massive investments we made in defense and the spinoff benefits. That was always the European argument for their own direct subsidies in the Airbus program, that we had indirectly done the same thing through defense. It cost a great deal of money to develop new aircraft, to break into new markets, and to go forward. The argument I was trying to make to the Boeing workers last week is, and I will restate it here, is that the adversity they have suffered in the market is through no fault of their own. That is, they have not failed by being unproductive or lazy or asking for too much, but that Europe was able to penetrate this market because of the Airbus policy. And the blame I placed was on our government for not responding, not Europe's for trying to get in. That was their, you know, that was their right. It was legal under international law, and they did it. Now, we chose instead to try to convince them to stop doing as much as they were doing, which produced the agreement to which you just alluded. I strongly support that agreement. I do not want it abrogated. I want it enforced. My policy now on this, and I don't want to prejudge the work that the commission we're about to appoint. Congress is going to pass a bill in the next few days. We're going to appoint a commission on the future of our commercial airlines company and our airline manufacturers. I don't want to prejudge that, but I have my policy basically has two points. Number one, the agreement must be honored and strictly adhered to. And number two, the agreement leaves the United States, as well as Europe, the opportunity to significantly invest in the development of new technologies for new generations of aircraft, and we have to take that opportunity in order to be competitive. So, I appreciate your asking the question because it gives me the opportunity to clarify my position. Thank you very much.
Well, the 46-year-old President Clinton says he learned a lot today from the 76-year-old French President Francois Mitterrand.